get to the bottom of what's truly healthy in this crazy, complex world. So you can take back what is rightfully yours. Welcome to the Health Sovereign Podcast. This is your host, Logan Christopher.
Welcome. I'm Logan Christopher from Lost Empire Herbs and Legendary Strength, and just going to have a fun discussion with my friend, Peter Ragnar, today. If you aren't familiar with Peter, he's an amazing guy. The longevity sage. We've had many good conversations together, and I've said this before, he's one of the guys that I've looked at as kind of an ideal for where I want to be in the future, whereas many people have this idea in mind of the frail elderly shuffling around at a nursing home. Peter's out there still doing great things despite his advancing age. So he's been a huge influence on me, and I know a huge influence on many other people. So welcome, Peter.
Thank you, Logan. It's always a pleasure to be here with you. It's we've had so many great conversations, and I'm always impressed when I see you post something about strength and fitness, and you're really the leading edge for that. Like you just mentioned, so many people really are challenged. They're challenged. We sit too much as a society. We just don't get up and move enough, and when vitality starts to wane, then ailments take their place. Ailments start coming in, joints ache, body doesn't move as fluidly as it once did, and then somehow we get this crazy idea that, well, it's just the advancing of time, that because I'm getting older, the years have passed. But time hasn't got a thing to do with it. That's the crazy part about it. Time hasn't anything to do with it. Time isn't toxic. But people's lifestyles can certainly be toxic. Their diets can be toxic. Their lack of motivation can be toxic. So there's a lot of different factors. And there's things that people can do, which is a crazy part about it. And that's why I get so excited about it. It's something everybody can do to get better and stay younger longer. And I think that's the bottom line. How do you do that? How do you get younger longer?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I've loved working with you is that so many of the herbs and things that you've recommended, all the research that you and your brothers have done to bring this to the forefront of the market. This isn't just folk wisdom, it's actual science. It actually works. And that's why I'm excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
It works for me. It works for anybody who does it. So, those are some of the things I'd love to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're actually, just me thinking about it, one of the people that first got me interested in like going out in nature and finding herbs for myself with your, I forget the title of that book, but Wildcrafting Foods and Whatnot. And that was a big intro for me. And I've actually been doing a lot of that, even more so now recently, going out and finding more herbs, even though it's been illegal to go out to a state park various times right now. And this we live in a crazy world. We got this coronavirus changing everything, and our biggest government bodies and whatnot, are the best health information they can give us is wash your hands and stay away from people. When there's a few other things, I think you and I would agree, there's a few other things we can do to support our health besides that.
Yeah. Just getting outside, getting out in the forest. There are so many things that are growing out there. I mean, there's a whole grocery store growing wild, mm-hmm, just around our homes. And, simple things. Here, if you see a person, let's say their skin is yellow and you see the yellowness in the sclera of the eye, well, and that's certainly indicative, as an example, of having a problem with the liver. Mm-hmm. When the liver gets clogged up. It gets dirty. It's like a, just like a filter on the car. The car doesn't run well if your filters get clogged. When the liver gets clogged, then how do you get it cleaned out? Well, just right out on a person's front lawn, you can find dandelion as an example. Mm-hmm. Dandelion greens, they're fantastic. So nature has a remedy. It has a remedy for just about everything. And some of these remedies are so powerful, amazingly powerful. I was just discussing this with some people. One of the concerns that people have voiced to me has been men with erectile dysfunction. In other words, they're not functioning sexually as they did when they were younger. Their testosterone levels have dropped, plummeted actually. And while this isn't just a sexual issue, whenever the hormones diminish, and in this case, let's address this from the male perspective, when a male's testosterone drops, the bone density weakens. Bones get fragile, brittle, when that hormone diminishes, as well as other hormones involved. Whenever you have a problem with erectile dysfunction, there is generally a heart problem associated with it, because it's associated with the chemicals that the body has to have to vasodilate. And that's, again, nature has a remedy. You go back to nature and you understand and study some of these things, and you realize that if we're doing what we can in harmony with nature, the body will heal. The body heals itself. It's self-generating, self-sustaining, self-repairing. You don't have to do a single thing for it to heal itself, except stop doing the things that stop it. Mm-hmm. It's so simple.
Yeah. Yeah, the body, the human body is amazing. It has this capacity, which we don't understand. We cannot replicate, despite all of our advanced technology of how to actually, it can heal itself. And as you're saying, it often is just something that is blocking that in the first place. And one of the things that I like to point out to people, because so many people focus just on the physical, whether that's nutrition or like a structural problem, the hormones themselves, but not recognizing the perspective of the mind and the emotions and how these play into it. And oftentimes that block, the thing that gets in the way, is just something there. That it can be some sort of emotional or mental problem that is stopping people from having things. And erectile dysfunction is a good example of that, because it'd be nice if it was a super simple thing. Like, the hormones are important, the blood flow, vasodilation is important, the nervous system's impacted there, and people with diabetes, they're often having it because of the impacts there. But then as soon as a man has a problem, then they're thinking about having that problem again. So the anxiety is this whole other layer on top of it. So oftentimes, ED, it is a canary in the coal mine, and you may have to dig through a couple layers of stuff going on to really find, because why one person has ED and another person, they might be completely different reasons.
Exactly. And you bring up a very good point there, Logan. When the mind is affected, in other words, when the thoughts are considered, there's a whole world right there. For instance, when a person is stressed out, and I think this is one of the reasons I've been getting those questions lately, because a lot of people stressed out over the current situation. Mm-hmm. Well, stress creates hormones that are, such as cortisol. When the cortisol levels go up, stress hormone cortisol, the anabolic hormones that build the body go down. Mm-hmm. They work opposite to each other. Insulin levels go up, and all sorts of other things start happening. And what I think people really need to grasp is that every single thought we have, every thought is an electrochemical event. It's chemistry and it's energy. So you have a thought, that thought is going to register its vibrational signature on all the cells of the body. And if that thought is a weakening thought, then the body weakens. And whichever part of the body is most susceptible to breaking, that part comes apart. That starts to come unglued. You know, I think of the body as a battery. And you have this battery, you've got, you know, a positive and a negative pole, which have to be in balance, just like with the hormones. You have catabolic and anabolic hormones. They have to be in harmony. Mm-hmm. Every thought that's out of harmony, every thought that's a distracting thought that takes you away from your body and mind, when it pulls you out of your own control, that damages the body, because it's mixing up different chemical cocktails that take us on a merry-go-round, on a crazy ride. Mm-hmm. And it's getting back to center. It's coming back to that zero point, that place of equilibrium, that place of balance. I mean, just like when you, if you want to get your correct reading of your weight, you set the scale on zero. You can't go left or right. You got to get right back into the center and drop all the other crap, and then take a good analysis of where you are. And the same thing with the thoughts. Not left, not right, just where are you? Let's begin from with a clean slate and rebuild on that.
Yeah. If the government was really interested in health, they should be mandating meditation to help people get to zero, which is a clue that this is not so much about health.
Yeah, it actually, you know, and you bring that up, that's fantastic, because the minute we settle down the mind, we settle our thoughts, we start to see things from a different perspective. And you can't if you're bounced around on the extremes. Mm-hmm. Got to get a centered view, and meditation does that. And that's one of the habits that I think everyone should do, should make a note to practice every day. And it doesn't have to be esoteric or complicated. It can be as simple as sitting down and listening to your breath, or simply counting your breath from 1 to 10. Just count your breaths from 1 to 10 and focus on the number, focus on the breath. And immediately it calms the body down. When the body is calm, then it operates at the way it's intended to operate.
It's something I've been doing recently in my own meditation, is to tune into where I can feel my own heartbeat without like checking my pulse. Mm-hmm. It takes, I don't think most people can do this without some practice. So like starting with your pulse is a way to get into doing it, but then can you feel that your own heartbeat just while you're sitting there? It takes a deep inward focus and it's extremely relaxing. So that's a fun one I've been playing with recently.
It's excellent, because this is what happens when people have meditated for a long time or a substantial amount of time. Eventually you get that quiet. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you brought that up. There's also something else that takes place. There's an inner sound. It's as if you're listening to nerve energy. And in the very quietest of moments, when thought is suspended, there's an energy field, and just think of it as a battery that has been recharged. Think of the physical body as being a battery, and every time we get really, really quiet, that battery starts to recharge itself. And so that quieting process we call meditation. And the meditation changes the physical flesh. It rejuvenates the flesh because it brings more energy to all the cells of the body. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we stay younger longer.
Mm-hmm. And going back to what we were talking about earlier, going out to nature, I find that can be meditation doesn't necessarily mean just sitting there, right? There's different forms of moving meditation, even a walk in nature, and it provides so many benefits. I think most people know that nature provides benefits, but haven't necessarily looked at all the science behind it, the cascading effects across the immune system, across the hormone system, just everything that happens from, and it really is a wide variety of things. For instance, you have the essential oils of phytoncides coming from the plants and the trees that are in the air, and actually air in certain types of forests are far cleaner than air inside of a hospital, for instance, just because of those natural chemicals that are in the air cleaning it. Then you can be out there barefoot on the ground, so you're getting this electrical connection to the earth, which then provides a bunch of benefits, lowering inflammation, regulating your circadian rhythm, so helping with sleep. It also has effects on the thyroid hormone as well. There's like everything they keep looking at as new research comes out of that, and just grounding has so many benefits. Then there's also the sensory stimuli, just the sight of the fractal patterns of nature, the leaves in the tree, the rustling of the wind in the air, the various animals around, or insects, lots of insects out there. All this actually has impacts on our nervous system and our body as a whole. So it's just amazing the more we look at how beneficial nature is to us. And once again, we're making it illegal.
Oh, that's beautiful. I know some time ago you went down to the Amazon. Mm-hmm. You want to say something about that? That sounds like a fantastic experience.
Yeah, the Amazon is an amazing place. And one of the people I was traveling with described it well. It felt like a pilgrimage, like a journey to a religious site my religion of nature, just going down to the deep into the forest and just the amount of life that is in that forest is insane. Just at night, we did a night hike and just shining flashlights around, seeing all the insects, huge spiders the size of my hands, frogs, just, and the how loud it was. Some people have trouble sleeping in the rainforest there because there's just nonstop noise going on. I found it quite pleasant myself. So it's an amazing place. If you have an opportunity to go, I would highly recommend it.
That sounds wonderful. Last year, Katrina and I went the opposite direction. We were up in Lapland, mm-hmm. up above the Arctic Circle, and just the wilderness, the vast, untamed country that is so teeming with life, with, mm-hmm. you know, with wolves and moose and herds of wild reindeer, it's awesome. I mean, it just takes your breath away. Mm-hmm. And that we still have these sanctuaries on this planet that need to be protected and honored. And it's honoring the earth. If we don't honor the earth, how can we honor our body? Our mm-hmm. body is part of the earth, is part of the soil. And just like you said, getting more immersed into nature, there's a connection, there's an electromagnetic connection. And you use the word grounding. Katrina just came in a little while ago and she had been walking around barefoot out in the woods. And she says, it's just so good to get grounded. Mm-hmm. Just to feel the earth under your bare feet. And you think of especially mushrooms. There are colonies of mushrooms that spread unbelievable distances. And there's this uncanny intelligence in the world of mushrooms and its connection with the very soil itself. It's almost as if everything is speaking to you in its own harmonics. Fantastic. I mean, this is what healing is all about. It's just, it's getting back to the source.
Yeah, it's interesting. A certain plant life, well, symbiotic plant life along with mycelium fungi has come on my radar more strongly recently, and that's Usnea, old man's beard. You're familiar with that, I'm sure. Grows around in forests like all around North America. Really quite a common thing. You can just go out to the forest and find it, and it is this kind of stringy looking, light pale green, as I said, symbiotic fungi along with an algae that grows on the trees, grows out of them. And it turns out that this is like one of the best respiratory herbs out there. It is strongly antibacterial. It also can be used for UTIs. Has a whole bunch of different benefits, and I got a tincture going of that right now. It's not one I've worked with before. I've certainly seen it, but it was like, oh, this would be a good one to be working with right now. And then it starts popping up in other places for me. This other guy says, oh, have you heard of this one? So it's interesting that the herbs can kind of, in a way, come on your radar in a strong way. Like they're waving their hand saying, hey, pay attention over here.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, I'm sure you have had some incidences like that in your past, right?
Yeah. That one of the things that, you know, many, many years ago, I worked with an herbalist who took me out in the woods and started showing me all of these different things that he had learned as a young man from some Cherokee medicine men. And the man was called Catfish Man of the Woods. And this is back in the 70s. He actually became very famous. It said the Queen of England actually came to visit him. Now, mind you, Logan, he lived in this little shack. I mean, it was a shack in the middle of nowhere. And it was, you had to go through the creek several times to get to it to find out where he lived. I mean, but he made this tincture from a number of different herbs, and he just put spring water and the herbs and the tincture, and people found out about it. They started coming to him, and their diseases went away, their ailments went away, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And so he took me out in the woods and showed me what herbs he used, and I started learning at that point in time. But one thing I remembered, he was showing me mullein, which, mm-hmm. you know, is a common weed. And he said, look, the mullein is shaped like it has a texture like the lungs. That's why the Indians, the Native Americans, said that it heals the lungs. This is just one of many. And he would go down the list and he said, what does this look like? What does that look like? What they look like usually matched what they did in the body. So it's just, you know, fascinating. And this thing, especially with the mushrooms now, mm-hmm. and I noticed that you probably have a hard time keeping in stock with some of these mushrooms, because they're the most amazing healing agents. You know, the chaga and the reishi and the cordyceps and, you know, all of the others. It's just fascinating because we have it all right before us. And I don't think we need anything else but just making that return. It's not some modern chemistry. It's what's already before us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, it's something I was just writing about the other day is the idea of plant blindness. You know, us modern men and women, we go out to nature, all we see is a wall of green. Right? It's because we don't have this relationship to the ecology. So yeah, it's great that we have access to these mushrooms and herbs from across the world. And, you know, my company, Lost Empire Herb, we bring that to you to make it easy and available. But I've always seen that it's like, this is a way we can bring nature to you. But ultimately, we want you going out to nature. And if you can go out there and begin to identify the plants, find the mullein. I know there's mullein growing not too far from here in this rocky area, and it's an amazing plant. Like, it's one of the softest little plants, but it grows in the rockiest of areas. And then it shoots up this, like, I've seen it 10 feet tall flowering stalk. It's a pretty amazing plant that has a wide range of benefits. So the more we can learn about nature, then really the truth is, if anywhere you live, doesn't matter where you live in the world, there are herbs that can heal just about everything all around you. You just don't know about them. And even I, like, I've been practicing this stuff. I've been wildcrafting for years now, and there's still new things I learn all the time just going out there. So it's kind of uncivilizing yourself in the way of regaining this lost knowledge that we used to have that would allow us to live in better harmony with the world and better harmony with our health.
Oh, it is. I mean, that is, and I think that's what the current conditions are bringing an awareness to, is that, wait a minute, we've gotten away from this. Let's make a return. It's making the return to the garden, and the earth is calling us. And it's, we've been given by circumstances this time period, and the earth is just relishing it. I mean, people may be going crazy, but the earth is saying, hey, look, now watch us, watch everything bloom and blossom. And it's just extending an invitation to return. And that's what I love about working with you, Logan, because you offer all of these different herbs, these different invitations from nature to return to the source. And that's why I got so excited about recommending and endorsing these products that you offer. It's just fantastic. I love the vibe. I love the energy. I love everything that you're doing. And this is the message, come home, come back.
Right. Yeah, one of our most popular sellers, the pine pollen, which I know you're a big fan of for all the hormone support it helps with. Right now, like in May here, is pine pollen season. It's when it's flowing out everywhere. Of course, where you live in different latitudes will change that up a little bit, but people can go out and get that pine pollen, find some place near them where it's available and just flowing out of the trees, and it's freely available. It can be a little tough to work with, tougher than other herbs and making your own tincture and that sort of thing, but it's there. And I completely encourage people to actually, if you got pine trees around you, go and do that for yourself. And if not, we have herbs for you. We can do the process for you. But still, I think the important thing is, get started. Like, make one tincture. If everyone across the world just like went out, found one herb and did that, it would start rebuilding that relationship that's so important.
The pine pollen has been, as you said, it's among one of my top herbs. It's for physical fitness, for putting on lean muscle mass, for keeping the hormone balance, and keeping the body anabolic. I've put on more lean muscle even at my age. I keep getting stronger, and depends on what I focus on. I'm just so doggone excited about it. I'm excited about every single day when I get up. I feel fantastic. And I said, holy cow. I said, this is absolutely the way to live life. It's a life of harmony, and it's restoring harmony and restoring our connection with Earth. And this is great. We have a friendship together. We have a friendship with the Earth. We have a friendship with the herbs, and we invite other people to join us.
I'll have to send you a bottle of, we have only a limited run of this, so it's going out to VIPs and I expect it to sell out fast, but a tincture I made of our Tomcat Ali. And I really like it because I feel our Tomcat Ali powder, it's an amazing herb. It's actually too strong for me. Like, it actually gave me a little bit of headache, like it's too fiery. But with the tincture, I can take a much smaller dose. So I can like get the benefits without the side effects from it. So yeah, amazing stuff. I think you'll really like it. And it has, I consider pine pollen and the tongkat ali like the top two herbs for hormone support like that.
And that, you know, again, as I mentioned when we started talking here today, several men have asked me about erectile dysfunction and things like mm-hmm. that. There's no better herb than tongkat ali and pine pollen for that.
Mm-hmm.
They're off the charts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you don't need to necessarily be having problems to get benefits from them either, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. And I'm glad you brought that out because, if you want that extra edge athletically, it's there. It's true.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting thing because me and my brothers, we really got into the herbs and we started this business based around the idea of like these herbs that can help support athletic performance. But it turns out anything that really helps with athletic performance also helps with sexual performance. So the market called us a bit more in that direction and we're fine to provide for it.
Yeah, that's the thing when it's the bone health, hormonal health, heart health, everything is affected. It's not just one thing. You know, if a person's having challenges in one area, it's not so much just that one area. That one area is just symptomatic of the entire structure needing to be realigned. Mm-hmm. And it's in realignment, it's coming back and balancing things. And all of a sudden, health, vigor, vitality, the battery is charged, we're ready to go, you know, we're excited about each day. And just loving life and living better.
Yeah, the standard medical worldview wants to always, it's a reductive scientific paradigm, which certainly has its uses to be able to reduce down to like molecular level or even beyond that. But often in doing that, they lose the forest for the trees. So as you're saying there, you know, your hormone system affects your immune system, affects your nervous system. Every system really affects every system. So we can't, oftentimes you can't get down to like a single cause because there's just so many things going on and so many interrelations that are very complex. So we often talk about hormone health with testosterone, right? But there's like 50 other hormones just in that system there. It's really complicated to look at. So we tend to simplify things and sometimes we lose stuff in oversimplifying things. And we really have to understand like a system's view of health. And without that, that's why we, you know, have this hyper-specialization and this idea that, you know, these herbs can't possibly work because there's not enough of these compounds in there to do anything. That's a wrong understanding of how things are actually operating.
Yeah. And you really hit on that because when it's a reductionist type of philosophy, they take one thing and they keep saying, okay, this, okay, we got it down to this one element. But it's never one thing, it's wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
It's even like with vitamin C. You can take vitamin C and say, okay, well, you take this tablet of vitamin C, and this is going to do this. Here's the studies on this one, on this amount of vitamin C. Well, if you take an apple has, and I was just reading, it's like 230 times more antioxidants than a single vitamin C tablet.
Hmm.
Because there's so many other elements that affect it. So it's a complex chemistry, but it's a chemistry of wholeness. And mm-hmm. you can't take one thing out and say this, just this, because that's just one little tiny screw in the whole machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, vitamin C certainly has its place, as with vitamin D. That's another thing we're talking about, nature being out there. It shouldn't even be called a vitamin. It does so many things in the body. It's a precursor to hormones and all that. So it's a signal, really, from the sunlight. Like, we're electromagnetic. We produce this chemical based on light being on us. And that's just interesting to think about by itself. So these isolated nutrients are absolutely critical. In many cases, there are reasons to be supplementing with them. But yeah, if we can't just supplement, oh, I need to take this one thing here, this one thing here, this one thing here. The majority should be coming from food. And that's why I really like herbs, because even though these isolated nutrients have their place, herbs really are food. We've only gotten away from using herbs. Most people don't use herbs outside of culinary herbs, period, but they've always been part of our food supply. People need medicine. It's just kind of a choice of what sort of medicine you're going to want to take. Do you get it from the natural world, something that is kind of symbiotic with us and has that intelligence of how it's all packaged together? Or do we isolate in a lab and chemically tweak something for patenting reasons so that a company can market up a lot and make a lot of money and then sell that to people? You have your choice.
Well, you know, it's interesting too. If you look at the world's longest lived people, and you look at the longevity pockets, and say, why do these people live so long? Well, in all of those longevity pockets, and as they've been identified as blue zones, the people live close to the earth. They natural organic foods. A lifestyle which has people outside, moving, exercising, gardening, and their social networks are very tight and very beautiful. A strong sense of community, a strong sense of honoring the older people in the tribe. And that, I think, is something that we're starting to reawaken to. We realize that, hey, you know, what do the longest lived, healthiest people on the planet, what are they doing? Well, what if we do the same thing? Will we get the same results? You betcha.
Right. I was looking at that recently, and something interesting that I'd never heard before came across there, and that was all the attention was focused on, oh, what are these people eating? Because we have this obsession with diet. It's always about food. The reason we have 10,000 different diets is because, you know, people don't have such relationship with food. But interesting part of that was all the focus was on, okay, what are they eating, not how did they eat, right? So at, you know, the social relations surrounding eating, but also fasting, you know, when they were not eating at all and how that played a role in their health as well. That was a big part of it. But if you're always just focused on the food, you miss these surrounding things that are very important as well.
Yeah, and how you eat. I'm glad you brought that up, Logan, because if a person observes the way the general populace eats, it's not eating. It's gobbling at a... It's almost a race to see who can stuff the most food fastest down their stomach. And the opposite is what brings health. First of all, when my wife and I have a meal, we hold hands and we bless our own food. And it's not a religious thing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be, has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with bringing up this sense of appreciation. I am so thankful for the quality food that I have. And that sense of gratefulness and thankfulness that this is available changes the molecular structure of the saliva. And therefore, then when I take a bite of food and I chew it thoughtfully, meditatively, completely, and when I swallow that food then takes on even another vibration, and my body accepts it with thanksgiving. My body says, thank you. And it accepts it, and the cells accept it. And therefore, the whole body responds. I'm not just shoveling stuff down my throat. I'm doing this, it's an act of reverence. Mm-hmm. And to eat in that fashion changes the food completely. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a great, that's a huge difference. And rather than sitting at a mealtime, arguing, discussing world news or local political events or whatever, or bills, or, you know, financial situations or gossip, quiet. It's a sacred time. It's a holy time. Mm-hmm. And the body responds. So that's, thank you for bringing that up. Mm-hmm. That's very powerful focus.
Yeah, I got into the habit of blessing my food before eating it. Not even that long ago. It was a hard thing to get into because I just had this pattern of being the person that shoveled food down my mouth to actually get into that process, but I was able to do it. And another perspective on that is the difference between the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous systems, right? If you're in that fight or flight mode because of whatever stressors that are going on around, that is when the blood goes out to your extremities, you're like ready to run, you're ready to act, versus the parasympathetic, which is also known as rest and digest. The blood being able to go to the digestion to actually handle the process of doing it. So taking even, it doesn't have to take long, but half a minute to enter that meditative state, go back to what we were talking about before, but getting gratitude for it, which is a good state to be in, it's transformative. So I highly recommend that as a habit that people cultivate.
Yeah, and it beautifully you presented. I appreciate those points that you just mentioned. All of these things, you know, it's a full package, and that's the fun. That's what's so much fun working with you and endorsing what you do. I love this. This is. It's just the way we live.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You wanted to talk strength training a little bit as well, right?
Yeah. I was curious what have you been doing lately? I've seen some things that are just truly amazing.
Yeah, my training is definitely unconventional. a few of my big goals right now, I'm working on the barbell bent press. And for people listening, that's the bent. B-E-N-T, not bench press. This is a real old-time lift, popular about 100 years ago, actually longer than 100 years ago, that involves kind of screwing your body around lower to the ground as you're lifting a weight. So it's a way to get a very large weight overhead with one arm. My current record is 165 pounds, and I'm aiming for 185 pounds, which is equal to my body weight.
Woo! I saw the video on that and I said, holy cow.
Yeah, I'm having fun with it.
What I don't think a lot of people may realize is that forget the weight. It's balancing the bar alone and let alone then when you put a few plates on there and how much did you do?
165 pounds so
yeah,
far.
That's unreal.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. It takes, the phrase that comes to me is joint integrity. So the shoulder, as you're moving your body around and then being able to support that weight while you're bent over, then coming to an upright position, it's really a full body movement, but it's focused on the shoulder, and it's pretty amazing for that. So I've been working on that for a few months now, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, I've seen so many things that you've done over the years that are just truly, truly impressive. And these are things that you see some great big guys with 20-inch arms can't do.
No, they wouldn't have the flexibility or the mobility to pull that off.
Yeah. Well, the mobility aspect of it is something else, but just from the strength perspective.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those are awesome lifts.
Yeah.
And which just illustrates how the neurological strength that you possess is so uncanny. I applaud that. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's always been my goal. I've never been trying to be a big guy. And if you look at me, I'm certainly not. I look fit, but I don't look like I can do the things I can do. And that's my design. I like it that way.
Well, it's a different way of training. And, of course, our good friend Bud Jeffries and his dear son Noah, the late Noah Jeffries, didn't have great big 20-inch arms, but there was a neurological strength that was displayed that is just it's weird. The degree of strength that you can develop.
Yeah.
But I love what you've been doing. You know, you've got the diet, you've got the herbs, you've got the focus, and,
Well, there's actually a really good parallel here when we're talking about strength to what we were talking about before with, like, medicine and diet, right? So in the conventional fitness is, like, bodybuilding is, let's isolate a single muscle and let's build this up without really looking at the whole picture. That's very similar ways. It's kind of the same mindset that goes into these things versus a lot of the people like Bud, like yourself, like me, where we're focused on a more holistic look at fitness and strength. It's not about, we need to run on the treadmill in order to get our cardio and then lift weights, isolating the muscles to do it. We bring it together in different ways that does seem unconventional, but that's just because the conventional way is kind of steered far down this reductionist path.
Yeah, that's I was thinking the same thing the other day when I was doing a farmer's walk, and I have these thick handle dumbbells, and they're dropping out of my hands, and I'm picking them back up, and I'm walking till I have to drop them again, and I'm thinking there wasn't a single part in my body that wasn't being worked from the toes to the tips of my fingers. I wasn't saying, well, let me see if I could do some concentration curls. I said, I just want to hold these.
Yep. Carrying exercises are underrated as a whole. Just being able to move something heavy from one place to another, it's one of the simplest things you can do, but also one of the best, because that's really applicable strength and fitness for everyday life, because we have to move things once in a while.
Yeah, well, and that was some of the conversations that have popped up, especially since the gyms are closed, and people say, well, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's numerous body weight exercises. Yep. You can start with push-ups and free squats and sit-ups, and everybody knows how to do those. And one of the things that I did was I took a thick rope and I hung it from the rafter in my garage so I could do rope pull-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't missing anything there. And then I go walking around my property doing lunges, carrying with a weight vest and dumbbells.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, your breathing. I used to run years ago. I was a very avid endurance athlete at one point in my life. And my resting pulse is right where it was when I was running.
Yeah.
And I haven't been running. But you get... You do certain things. There's so many things that people can do to get their cardiovascular system in tip-top shape without necessarily having to run on a treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
Any of these exercises.
Yeah. I've been doing kettlebell juggling, getting back to that lately, and that is taking of a kettlebell. It's usually just one kettlebell. It's not normal juggling, but instead the flipping, spinning, catching it around the body in a variety of ways. And I've been working on some like heavy double flips, and I pulled off my first triple flip with the kettlebell.
Oh, wow. Wow. Bud told me about that years ago. He said, you ought to see Logan doing kettlebell, working with the kettlebells, mm-hmm. juggling them. And I said, now, wait a minute. Pass that by me again, Bud. What did you say? He's juggling kettlebells. And I said, okay.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of fun.
You're the only person I know that. I've never heard of anybody else doing it.
There's some other people out there. It definitely is bigger in the Russian countries and surrounding areas. They actually have some competitions and whatnot surrounding kettlebell competitions, but it's catching on. To me, it's way more fun than running. Running is really repetitive and slow. And,
yeah.
Here you're going to be building not only the endurance, but strength, and it's explosive strength. It's not just the using of strength, but also the absorption of force. It has a lot of application towards martial artists because you're working that strength and endurance and everything and hand-eye coordination from so many different angles, depending on the different throws and catches that you're doing with the kettlebells.
I can imagine how it must work your grip too.
Yeah, and there's some fun ones, like you can throw it into a bottoms up position where the bell's on top,
right.
And that's especially difficult to do. You can do simple stuff just like pressing the kettlebell there, but flipping it into the place is especially tricky.
Oh, I know. I can remember working with John Saylor. John was the Olympic coach mm-hmm. for the U.S. judo team at one point, one of their coaches, and John and I became very good friends, and we worked out. But one day we took a duffel bag filled with sand, and we wrestled with this duffel bag between us, mm-hmm. and we'd toss it, and when one person would start dropping, the other person to take over, but we both had our arms on it. And he had flown in from Colorado and spent the weekend with me, or 3 days with me. And so I'm taking him to the airport. And John says to me, he said, isn't that the airport over there to your left? And I'm looking at him, and I said, yes, John, I can't turn my head. I was so sore from just using a sandbag.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't even turn my head. I was just, but yeah, it works every single part of your body.
Mm-hmm.
You start doing stuff like that.
Yep. Yeah, that's, once again, people tend to, the average person out there gets tend to focused on just like a few things, but really, if you want health and longevity, and like pain-free movement, the more diversity of different types of movement you're capable of doing, the better off you're going to be. Like, yes, strength is important, mobility and flexibility, and really this is applied across as many different types of movements you can do. If you expand your movement library, if you will, then you're going to be able to move well, because what do we see? We see people stop moving, then they become not able to move. So expand your movement and you'll be able to move well.
Oh, you make a real good case for functional strength training.
Mm-hmm.
That's fabulous, fabulous. Well, I hope people that enjoy our chat together
mm-hmm.
will start to implement some of these things. I mean, look at all of the different things we talked about.
Yeah.
Getting back to nature, getting back to basic foods, getting back to the herbs, moving our body, being grateful for eating and getting impressed by my friend Logan.
Yeah, we covered a good range of topics here, and it really is all important, and it all fits together well. Like, this is our life. This is the stuff we do, right, on a regular basis. It's not this, oh, I gotta look at this one thing, then this one thing. It really does all blend together well.
Yeah.
I think that's important too.
Well, I really appreciate your sharing this with me and allowing me to be with you.
Absolutely, Peter. It's been great. For people that may want to follow up or see some more, where should they go to find you?
Just Peter Ragnar on Facebook or Peter Ragnar on longevitysage.com. They can email me at Gmail, Peter Ragnar, and or go on Amazon. They can find my books on Amazon. Some of them, I've discontinued a lot of things, but Amazon insists on carrying or has a source for them. The last thing I did, though, was a book called Finding Heart, and it's on Amazon Kindle, and it's free. You know, if you have Amazon or Kindle Unlimited, it's coming back to yourself, coming back to the core of the real meaning of life, finding heart, living from heart.
Absolutely. And I'm Logan Christopher. You can find me at legendarystrength.com for everything strength and fitness related, and Lost Empire Herbs for a lot on herbs, health, and nature. All that stuff's over there. Okay, Peter, it's been great talking to you.